Okay, brilliant. Bit of holy water in that glass. You feeling okay? Okay, well, I hope, guys, we're going to go on a little journey this morning. I'll share the reading with you in a minute, then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to launch into it. Now, I'll try not to walk around too much, but I tend to find that the more I get excited, the more I start doing funny things, jumping up and down and moving around. So please excuse me, but if it gets too annoying, just raise your hand, and I'm prepared to stand still for a little while, for a little while. Now, God's word, it gets us excited, yes?
Amen.
It's got to. It has got to. Otherwise, we fall into the category of, I don't get it, I don't understand it, it doesn't make any sense, and it means nothing to me today, therefore, you know, it's boring, and it's rubbish, and that's that. And the sad thing is that people are on a journey like that in their Christian walk, you know, week after week, month after month, year after year. So hopefully, we're going to excite each other this morning with God's word. So let's look at a reading taken from Luke chapter 24 and verses 34. I'm going to read down to 42. And then I'll share with you where I'm going to focus. But this is to give you a bit more of a picture of what is going on. Hopefully, as I begin to read this, a lot of it will start dropping into place. So, is it true the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon? Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands, my feet, it is I myself. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they were still, did not believe, it because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that we have access to your word, and we have access to your word in all kinds of languages and translations. Father, help us not to take that for granted. Help us to get a passion for your word, a fresh excitement, a fresh anointing, that when we read your word, we feel it, we experience it, and that we might know that when you are speaking to us, those words become real. They become emotions. They become a calling in our lives. They become direction. They become guidance. They become the arms that hold us tight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. It's got to be exciting now because I said it's going to be exciting. I should have said that. So, to get a bit of a recap where we are, we've gone past Calvary. There was kind of a gloomy cloud in the air. Mary, Magdalene, Joanna. Go to the scriptures and just double check. It's got Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the Mary, the mother of James. They're gone to the tomb expecting to see what you'd expect to see. If you go and visit a relative in the cemetery, there's something that you're going to expect to see. And, you know, it's the tombstone, or depending on how things are there. But in this case, we understand, and hallelujah as well, that there was nothing there. The stone that covered the tomb was rolled, and they were perplexed. They couldn't believe what was going on. So we'll fast forward a little bit. We understand there was an encounter with an angel, Jesus himself. We'll move along. And then we know about the road to Emmaus. So two disciples were going on the road and talking and complaining and saying, "Guys, I can't believe what has happened. We put our hope, our everything into this Jesus of Nazareth. He was supposed to be the one that we were waiting for. The one that was going to restore everything. Peace, sovereignty, everything. And as they take that long walk to the village of Emmaus, it becomes clear from these two disciples that their hope was gone. The hope that they had in Jesus was gone. But there was a third person, wasn't there, in that story? There was a third person. And this is partly why I've left communion till after the message instead of before. Because when they're in the village of Emmaus, this third person was still there. And as Jesus broke the bread at that supper time, that's when the two disciples realized that all that time on that journey of kind of internal suffering, he became real to them at that moment, at that table, as he broke the bread. It's so significant, isn't it? So we're moving on from there, even. And we could talk about that all day. So we move on, and then we get to a place where Jesus appears to the disciples behind locked doors. Now, I'm a worrier. It causes me a lot of problems being a worrier. Because when you're a worrier, okay, let's have some hands first, because I want to know that I'm not on my own up here. Who, if you're a bit of a worrier, put your hand up. There's nothing to be ashamed about. I've got my hand up there. Look, come on. That's it. I feel good now. Now, the thing about, okay, I won't try and make out that we're all the same, but certainly for me, I'm an introvert and a worrier. Now, the problem what that brings is you get a lot of internal problems. All right? It's okay. Could be someone from Israel phoning. You never know, do you? Right. Or God himself. Is you get internal turmoil when you're a worrier. Because it's all in here, isn't it? It's in the mind, and it can really bring you down. Often people will fall into depression and things like that, and all sorts can go on. And you're focused so dearly on a situation that it gets to the point sometimes where your kind of faith is secondary, because it is about the situation. How can I get beyond this? How can I deal with this? How can I solve it ultimately? And so, because we're tangible people, we see it, we feel it, we feel the emotion of it, and that really is our wrestling ring, if you like. And we get caught up like that. And I feel quite privileged to come today, and I did the last, it was a while ago since I came before. I've not been involved in ministry for a while now, maybe almost a year. Because of that type of wrestling that's going on inside. It goes on so long that you kind of lose touch and lose sight of the one that came to give you fulfillment, about the one that came to guide you, to counsel you, to befriend you. So here they are, the disciples, in, I don't know, I'm trying to imagine. There's not much in the commentary and in some of the exposition works about what's going on. Imagine it's another upper room, certainly small, dingy, the doors are locked. You imagine almost some kind of secret service type of meeting, you know? But at the same time, the disciples are so excited. Is it true? Is it really true? Is there... we've heard this, we've heard that, the tomb was empty, but then where was he? And we didn't see him at the tomb, but apparently Mary said, but you know Mary, I don't know. But then the two disciples were in the village of Emmaus, and they've come back, and what are we going to do? What's going on? They didn't know what to think. There's this times where in our lives we're just hysterical. There can be situations where we're almost hysterical. We don't know the truth from fact and fact and non-truth and all these kinds of things. And in one sense, they gathered to try and thrash that out. What's going on? Have you heard? But I think there's something that I wanted us to picture in beginning this small journey this morning, and that is that in those times, think about those times, perhaps this morning, you're bringing a moment where, you know, it's hard. You're struggling. You don't know which way to turn. Or there's a challenge ahead of you. What on earth do I do? And you know, sometimes we talk about, you know, what would be the overarching message from this morning? It sounds back to front, I'm going to go into the message. But as we go through a couple of these verses, I want us to stand on the truth, that's not a pun when I say it now, that Jesus stands with us. And I want it to kind of come alive for us, because there's things that we say just kind of flippantly, or we sing it, and I'm not suggesting that you don't believe what you sing or anything like that. I could feel it in the room. Feel the Spirit move this morning. Jesus stands with us, and it's a sense of authority that comes from you saying it. That's what I'm talking about this morning. This authority. So in one sense, I've come to remind us. I don't know why. Maybe there's reasons. Maybe if we have time of prayer at the end, that might become evident. I don't know. But we have to stand in authority because of him, in his authority. Jesus stands with us. Well, I've got challenges this week or challenges the week after. But we have to know and we have to be prepared to stand on his word and say that Jesus stands with us. And I think I'm going like this because I've seen it somewhere before where this kind of illustration that his word cuts through. His presence cuts through anything and everything. While the disciples were still talking about all the stuff that had gone on, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." How many of us need the peace of Jesus Christ this morning in our lives? Who's going to stand with me on that one? Okay, so I'm talking to some at the moment. The rest of you don't fall asleep. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And we understand in one of the Psalms, it'll come to me in a minute, that in all situations we come to God in joy, in praise. That is a difficult thing to do. And if you're able to do that, help me do it. Because I'm trying to learn all the time to be able to do that. I know that when I found myself in a period of time of 6 months in depression and being met, the doctors just, take this, my life. I think I was rattling, walking down the street. You know, what am I on this week? The highest dose of all kinds of stuff. And in the end, I said, no, Jesus stands with me. I can't do this anymore. You know, these, I read on the instructions what the tablets do to you. We're not quite sure that they're any better than, I'm not contradicting GPs who pray for those guys that they have a wise hand. But you know what I'm saying, yeah? To focus on the right things and not what you're wrestling with, not the situation. To say, hang on a minute, Jesus, he stands with us and he says those words constantly, day in, day out, in a situation that you are in. Yes, you may not be hearing them audibly. For some of them, that will be true, and that does happen. But Jesus says to us, "Peace be with you." We heard it before, actually. And it was the last time I've come, and I've just been reminded it, so I'll say it. And that was the boat and the disciples in the boat. That was what we talked about the last time I came. You know, that storm that surrounds. And you know the rest of the picture, what happens? That Jesus pretty much, hand went up, job done. You know, guys, what's the problem? Just chill out. You know, if he wasn't the Messiah, you'd want to hit him, you know. I'm struggling, Jesus. Right, let's move away from that. But peace be with you, he says to them. And we have, I began by saying this idea that we're tangible. You know, some people carry things in their pocket. I used to have a pebble to represent a rock. Jesus is my rock in all situations. So it helped to remind me of something like that. Anything that I could take that for the situation where suddenly you're out of your depth and you're just not focusing. But when you see something, your memory is jogged and you're reminded, whoa, hang on a minute. And it's got to be more than the fridge magnet that's there that we can't see anymore. You know, you understand what I mean? You see it all the time, and then you don't see it. It's still there, but you don't see it because you're just so used to it. I don't know what the technical name for that is, but you don't see it. But how effective is it? We've got to stay in a place where each and every day we're able to sense, feel, and put into practice this idea that Jesus stands with us to the extent that he brings us that peace. He brings us that peace. I remember a number of years ago waiting in a hotel room for my father to come and visit. And it was actually the first, when I read that verse, the beginning of this verse, it was the first thing I remembered. And this scenario. So I was waiting in this room with my auntie. How old was I? Let's quickly think. So it's going to be 20 plus years. No, 30 plus years I hadn't seen my father for. So we're waiting in the room. There's a family wedding in Manchester. Everyone was coming. You know, they're all there. South Africans, Zambians. Also, it was amazing. It was brilliant. It was like the best hat competition. It was just absolutely brilliant. So there we were. And the emotion, I can just imagine that the intensity of being in a room like that had some connections to the anticipation of what was going on at that time. The anticipation of my father coming, then walking in the room. Imagine the kind of, it's not a shock horror type of emotion, but your breath is going, you're almost hyperventilating, but you're not. Your mouth, your jaw drops, you're not sure what to say. I just pictured that with these disciples as Jesus just stood among them. And it's amazing because you look at the journey these disciples have taken with Jesus, and still they're so, I wonder if we take for granted what we read, you know, that we don't really let it. But every time we read that they just, amazing things are going on, they just seem to be perplexed and either excited or it was all these kinds of emotions going on. But yet they would have seen Jesus do stuff. And verse 37, it says to us, so they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? You know, God doesn't want to trick us. Just reminded of the temptations of Jesus. Sometimes people generate this idea that God is constantly wanting to test us and constantly wanting to see if we're faithful. I've no doubt there's a bit of that somewhere, but I can't second guess when that is. That's in your lives and for your discernment to work that out. But why do we get troubled when we have a God that was not in the tomb? We have a God that walks this earth, that walked this earth and that walks this earth by his Spirit. We have a God that we can talk to. We have a God that desires to talk to us. That was God's mission and is God's mission in the world today. You know, when I first came to church, no church background, but yet I knew there was one thing that was going to happen. The minute I went into that church at the end of the street and said, you know, I believe, that I expected God to speak to me. I don't know where that came from. I don't know what that was about. But I had this expectation. You know, and Jesus says to the disciples here, and sometimes, and I put my hands up to this, you know, he says to us, why do doubts rise in your minds? Because they can be dangerous things that Satan loves to play with. Satan loves to twist things. That's why I said the temptations of Jesus. I lost my thread just now. That is why. Because Satan loves to play with our doubts and say, see, I told you. Satan knows scripture. We see that in the scriptures, that he can repeat scripture. But if you think of a replica, a fake item of clothing, yeah, it looks good from a distance. I might look and say, oh yeah, Gucci, looks nice top. But it's a little bit different. There's something about it. Maybe the label's upside down. Or maybe there's no label. There's something not quite right. And that's how I view Satan when he was doing that. But if we don't know clothing, so we need to know God's word, we're not going to know that our doubts are being grown into a snowball effect, that our doubts just become bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, you get to the point where, okay, so I won't do church this week because I'm struggling, and that's cool. You need to stay at home, and if you're like me, just eat lots of chocolate. But then that grows, that doubt. Well, I don't know why I'm going. I don't know what that's about. Then maybe someone doesn't come and visit. And then you say, see, Satan. See, I told you. They don't care about you anyway. And all these little things start to grow. And they build. And they build. So to doubt is so dangerous. And it is amazing when you've got a buddy, whether it be a prayer buddy, or a spiritual buddy, whatever, that you can walk with, that you're happy for them to give you little gentle rebukes. You know, hey, sister, brother, come on. Let's cry together, laugh together, like the word says. So to doubt, it can be so dangerous. Be in a situation like the disciples behind those doors where they're kind of running around like headless chickens. They don't know what to do. They don't know what's true anymore. And in the world, I found myself in loads of situations where people, even family, they're not believers. They might say, James, you got to do this because, you know, that's meant they'll pay you, do this, this is the right thing. And you get all these kinds of messages coming from all different angles. What shall I do? And then you begin to doubt the actual truth. You know, what's so amazing about the kingdom is so many things are upside down. They're contrary to the world, aren't they? To be successful in the kingdom isn't the same success that the world measures, is it? We know that to be successful in this world, it's about what my car is, what it looks like, or what I buy, and all that kind of stuff. We know that the kingdom's not based on that. So why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? I think that we need to develop personal and community, as a community of faith, strategies that can suppress that can help one another. That when you're troubled, when you're feeding like a headless chicken, when you're running around, you don't know what to do, that you can talk and bravely say, do you know, I'm doubting my faith. I'm doubting the God that I used to believe in. I'm doubting the one that I gave my life to. Because we do get to those places sometimes. I pray that no one does, but I just want honesty in the community of believers. Honesty. So that we're not praying people back again. Do you know what I mean? Don't be troubled. As best you can, don't be troubled. Because, and what is this refrain? Jesus stands with us. You're going to get annoyed in a minute that I'm saying that, but come on. As soon as we get out there, we have our dinner, oh, I don't know what God said. You're going to remember this. Jesus stands with us. I remember that. What is it we might want to say to a friend at the end of the street who you know is struggling? Maybe there's all kinds of stuff going on at home. There's people I'm trying to tap into now that losing their children, there's drugs and alcohol and crime. And I just want to go up to them and say, friends, come on, Jesus stands with you. You don't have to do this. No one needs to be an evangelist and a trained person to be doing that. Just a fire that burns inside there. That's all it is, isn't it? A little bit of fire there. You know what God does with a mustard seed? The faith of a mustard seed. And Jesus goes on to say to these disciples, I think Jesus knows how stupid these disciples are. And you know, and I can be a bit tup like that. My wife, she's good at picking up subtleties. And I'm not subtle either. And she'll say, oh, didn't you see that? Didn't you? No, I didn't. What are you talking about? Well, they were trying to say to you. And then I was like, oh, I bulldozed in with something, you know. I just, oh, that's men, but it's not men, it's just me. But there we go. And Jesus says, knowing, look, you guys, just stop being so stupid. Sit down. Look at my hands, my feet. It's me. The scripture says, it is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you have. You can imagine that he's trying to say, just sit down, guys, calm down. Stop freaking out. It's me, it's Jesus. Sit down. And but you're thinking of a place of joy and seeing holes in his hands. There's some strange joy in that somewhere. Do you know what I mean? To imagine, because you know how horrific the crucifixion was. To say, it's me, look. Don't doubt anymore, it's me. And how often we need that kind of touch from God and that hand to come into our lives and to touch us, put our arm around us. And sometimes having that buddy, that friend, that kind of, whether I'm going to be older, I like having senior folk from the church walk alongside me. That hand, that arm around me is almost exactly that. Jesus saying, it's me, I'm here. I'm with you. I stand with you. And you know what? I don't know how much time you spend in the Word, but the Word of God can do that. When you're stood there in the Word, I'll come to an end in a minute looking at the time. That you spend time in the Word of God and you get just that. That hand that reaches out to you and touches you and say, I am with you. I am standing with you, brother, sister, in your situation. Look at my hands and my feet. Yes, I'm wounded. Yes, I've been beaten. Yes, I have been pierced with a sword. But I did it for you. And I stand with you. I stand with you. Don't worry, sister. That's cool. I'll be coming to an end shortly. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. There's just something so honoring about that. That the situation, no, it wasn't ordinary, but you can only imagine that you'd want to kneel down and bow and worship the risen King in that verse. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. So as we move away from Easter, and tonight we're going to look a little bit about his final words, his final kind of instruction to us. What does that mean for us? What should we be doing in terms of our mission of God? But as we move away from Easter and we think of communion, we're reminded then of the sacrifice that God made, but we have got to go out in this world day by day with this attitude in our minds that Jesus stands with us. And when we're at home and we're struggling to share, or actually coming to church on a Sunday is difficult with tensions in the family, these are things to hold on to. Jesus, he stands with us. And it's more than, yes, I stand with you, and that's great, and I bring you motivation. The sacrificed Jesus, the wounded Jesus, he stands there that we might know his presence and power to overcome adversity, to overcome even imprisonment. We saw Paul. And what about being in the clutches of a lion? To overcome the growling gnashers of our world. Okay, I'm just going to give a short prayer. We're going to spend some time in communion and share the bread and the wine together. I'm kind of doing it as I might normally do it. Excuse me if it's a little bit different. Hopefully it won't be anything radical. We're Baptist churches, so it should be some similarities. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can stand on your word, that we can read your word, we can meditate on your word. We have the choice to put your word into practice. But Father, we acknowledge this morning there are times where we just needed to be reminded that you stand with us. When we're being challenged in a situation, you stand with us. When we receive the news that we dread, you stand with us. When we receive the constancy of letter after letter and we can't provide for our own family, Lord, you stand with us. When we feel that there is no hope, that this is the end of the line for who we are, what do I do with my life? You stand with us. Heavenly Father, let us really understand this morning what that means. To have you by our side. Because you died for us. So that there is something special in this world for us. Not only is it you, but you have a mission and you have a task and we have a responsibility, Lord. And we just pray that that might become a reality in our lives. As we spend this time thinking of your sacrifice, Lord. Just reveal to us those things that we should know as individuals. Inspire us, Lord, by your love for us. In Jesus' name.